microphone then. All right, Ames Lab is located at Iowa State University, which is in Iowa. It has a 50-year plus tradition of looking at the metallurgy and chemistry, physics of novel materials, and it combines a mid-sized DOE lab with a large land-grant university. And the shock for me was when I saw the sign saying ag, it wasn't silver, it was actually something else, but that was a problem I resolved quickly enough. I think I just skipped over my collaborators, so let's go back. A lot of the work I'll be presenting is part of the thesis of Emilio Morisson, who started looking at the properties of the rare silver germanium series. Yuri Janssen's a postdoc who's been growing 2-3 gram single crystals of this material. I'll show you a picture of it later on, and we've been having a very fruitful collaboration with Bjorn Falk and Des McMurrow from their respective organizations to look at neutron scattering, both elastic and inelastic, and also with Philip Niklowitz and Jacques Fluquet to look at some low temperature properties. And actually, as far as useful discussions, Jörg Schmalian and Maxim Zero have been very useful, but I'm actually hoping that there'll be some very profitable discussions coming out of this workshop. I have an outline of the papers, either published or posted, that these will be coming from. I have electronic copies if people are interested in them, and it also provides an outline for today's review. I'll start by giving a brief sense of the series. In many cases, rare earth compounds are part of a series. It's not just the ytterbium compound. You'll obviously want the non-magnetic analog, but you can often learn things by looking at the local moment analogs also. Amelia did a very detailed study of the angular dependent metamagnetism of a...
Well, you know, you have a 15-minute talk.
Yes, I know. And I'm stretching it to 20. That's fine. So, lots of interesting papers. A friendly amendment from the chair. I'll skip over that. This was nicely gone over also. The motivation experimentally is to try to look for a Niel line that's being suppressed, and you have a region of great fluctuation and uncertainty, and you emerge in a Fermi liquid on the other side. There are examples known in the literature. You can tune by pressure with a variety of materials. You can also tune by field, as was very nicely reviewed by Philippe this morning. And one of the things we were interested in is to see if we could find other examples. My own prejudice, and I admit this is a prejudice, I find substitution a bit difficult because the additional physics or chemistry that comes from disorder can sometimes obfuscate what you're interested in. Pressure is very difficult, so tuning with field is preferable, at least in my case, and what's required is more examples that can allow us to do this. The rare silver germanium structure is a hexagonal structure. You have rare earths forming this triangular type lattice with silver and germanium in between. You have the ability to study this for a variety of members of the rare earth series, where for thulium, for example, you have a highly anisotropic material. The moments by crystal-electric field splitting are confined to the basal plane. You have a nice response for the field in this basal plane, whereas for the field along the c-axis, you get virtually no response, or at least very weak. Here you can see this in terms of MH plots. You see detailed metamagnetism. You can tune this by changing the angle you apply the field in the basal plane, whereas in the other direction, you don't see much of anything. And what you could do then is you can map out HT phase diagrams for the thulium, a local moment system, which if you rotate these by 90 degrees, start looking very similar to the phase diagrams we'll start looking at when we discuss the ytterbium compound. The ytterbium compound is also anisotropic. The moments are more or less in the basal plane. It's not as anisotropic as the thulium, though, although neutron scattering indicates they are in the basal plane direction. We have an inverse susceptibility that gives us a nice trivalent ytterbium local moment. We have an average Curie-Weiss temperature of minus 30 and deviations below about 20 degrees Kelvin. If we look at the resistivity, it's rather interesting for a number of reasons. The first of which is a remarkably large field dependence of the apparent residual resistivity. You start with something that seems to have a hideous residual resistivity, but this is not associated with chemical disorder or defects because as you apply a field up to 14 tesla, this drops dramatically. On the other hand, if we start looking at the phase transitions, which are hinted at here, we can see two clear phase transitions in the transport, one at about 0.6, one at about 1.0, and we can also see them in the specific heat. This lower one is first order in nature. The upper one does not seem to be. And a cascade of magnetic transitions in a rare thinner metallic is very common. Often it's a commensurate and incommensurate phase. You often have a transition from one to the other. If we look at the specific heat in a little more detail, the high temperature C over T versus T squared gives us a gamma of about 150 millijoules per mole K squared. If we try to say what is gamma or C over T doing as we cool down, it's a little difficult because we do have a magnetic phase transition, but we can say it's going to range between 150 and 1 joule, and this can give us an estimate of TK. Perhaps a more insightful way of trying to look at it is to estimate the entropy as a function of temperature, and we only recover R log 2 up around 20 to 25 degrees Kelvin. At 1 Kelvin, we're at about 10% of this, consistent with small moment ordering. So this looks like it's a very promising material for suppression of TNL to a quantum critical point. We can actually investigate that in detail, of course. Here's a summary of various ways of trying to estimate the Kondo temperature. We can either take it by being based on theta average, being between 3 and 30, by gamma TK is R log 2, or more sophisticated manners, between 15 and 120. The Kondo temperature is modulo 20. If we look at the resistivity, either as a function of temperature for various fields or as a function of field for various temperatures, we can see that we suppress the magnetic transitions quite rapidly and then evolve into a region where we have a apparent linear resistivity and then roll over into a T squared. I'll show that in greater detail in a moment. We can also look at the resistivity as a function of field and see two clear transitions, one a lower field and one at a higher field. If we look at that for the easy direction in the basal plane, we can map out a manifold of temperatures for the suppression of this lower field transition and suppression of this upper field transition. We can also look at the low temperature and high temperature transitions being suppressed and map out the schematic of this Néel manifold going towards zero. We end up with something like this. We have our transition at 1 Kelvin, we have our transition at 0.6, and both of these are being suppressed. And here's the base of a helium-3 system, which we were doing our initial measurements in. And the question is, do we have some sort of field-induced quantum critical point here? We want to try to address, is there some non-Fermi liquid type signature, and is there a subsequent Fermi liquid type signature? Well, as I'll get to it, we know it from neutron scattering for the lower one. It's a 1/3 zero, 1/3 magnetic ordering. So, I mean, we can confirm that from neutrons. At this point, it's speculation.
The second one?
No. I mean, you know, from what I've presented now, it's phase transitions. You don't know. I would assert that it was likely they were magnetic from the get-go. But we know that this one is a zero, 1/3 zero ordering, and we've actually plotted that wave vector from neutron scattering. The upper one, we haven't done a full workup. It's not simply related to the 1/3, 0, 1/3. And actually, that's experiments that are going on at ILL and Hans Meitner next month. But that. Yes, that's intriguing, isn't it? Yeah. And in the resistivity, it's not the most compelling either, although it's comparable in the resistivity to other compounds. You're seeing sort of this breakaway here. What's intriguing is how in the RH, it shows up very clearly. So no, the upper transition is an intriguing aspect of this, and we're still trying to come to grips with it. I'm going to be presenting data primarily in the basal plane. We have data along the c-axis also, and I'll show you the phase diagram for that. But we've mapped out, in essence, what happens to these magnetic phase transitions. We now can start looking at the higher field regions. If we look at the highest field, which is 14 tesla, we get a t-squared behavior over a fair range of t-squared values. As we decrease the field, we get it over a smaller and smaller range. And then finally, at lower fields, we roll into a rho versus t that gives us a linear regime. So we have a Fermi liquid-like resistivity and a non-Fermi liquid-like resistivity, which then allows us, at least initially, to put together these phase diagrams for the easy axis as well as the hard axis. These are essentially scaled by a factor of 2. So via simple tuning via field, not pressure or x, we seem to have the ability to have a field-induced quantum critical point. What's nice is it's a stoichiometric ytterbium compound, to our knowledge, the second one, and unlike the ytterbium rhodium to silicon 2, we actually can get substantial single crystals. This is a 2-gram single crystal that's currently hot and sitting at ILL.
Paul, why do you write them down?
10 minutes left. Yeah. Yes?
Why is there an error at 72
today? Here? Oh, no, up at this point, it isn't clear exactly where it is. I'll refine that in a second. Based on those data, you would say you're not totally sure. If you look at the specific heat, as we change the field, we can recover a C over T proportional to minus log T over about a decade in temperature, which is again consistent with a non-Fermi liquid type behavior. If we look at the gamma and the A squared coefficients, we can get a Kitawaki-Woods ratio, which for the easy direction is ranging from 6 to 4 times 10 to the minus 5th, for the hard direction, 2 times 10 to the minus 5th, but they're both clearly decreasing with increasing field. Now, one of the questions that then remains is, what about Hall effect? We've heard some discussions about the predictions of whether you're going to have a more continuous change in the Hall coefficient or a discontinuous change. If we look at the rho H, the Hall resistivity divided by H as a function of temperature for different fields, at lowest field we can see signs of these magnetic phase transitions. At fields where we suppress them, we see a monotonic change, but a field dependence of the Hall coefficient. What we find the simplest thing to do is to plot rho H as a function of H, so just the Hall resistivity, and we can see at lowest temperatures a very sharp feature that then evolves as we go to higher and higher temperatures and also moves in field. These red lines are the phase lines we've established before. Perhaps the clearest is for the Fermi liquid, we seem to have a crossover into a linear rho H versus H. We see similar behavior in the hard direction, and we can actually add to our phase diagrams then a Hall line, which is seeming to hit at exactly the same point we would have inferred a quantum critical point, and have a similar slope to the Fermi liquid, but to be quite distinct from it. We can look at lower temperatures. This is in collaboration with Fluke and Nikowitz. If I take their data, we can append it to our phase diagrams. At this point, we have the ability to extend both this first transition and the second transition down to lower temperatures. Here's the Hall line, here's the Fermi liquid, non-Fermi liquid line, similarly in the hard direction. And then finally, the initial work on the neutron scattering. Here we can see a 1/3, 0, 1/3 wave vector that's coming from 0.32 Kelvin. There has been a mapping of this wave vector as a function of temperature. It disappears at about 0.5, 0.6, and we do not yet know what is the nature of, and I would think it's magnetic, but we don't know the nature of the upper transition. A full structural determination of the low temperature magnetic order is underway. The current intuition from Bjorn is it's on the order of about 0.1 Bohr magneton, but without a full determination. That's more speculation than supportable. In addition, there's been some inelastic work done in zero field, and right now there's scheduled inelastic work in applied field to try to get toward the quantum critical point. So, to summarize then, for resistivity, we can see a suppression of magnetic transitions. We roll into a linear regime and then into a T squared. Heat capacity, we go into a logarithmic regime, and then at higher fields, we have a scaling of delta C versus H over T to the beta. Beta is about 1.15. We have a clear anomaly in the Hall resistivity that apparently is associated with the field-induced quantum critical point. The exact nature of this isn't clear, and actually I would like to discuss the criteria for analyzing the Hall data, because there's an experimental question to be addressed. And the nice thing here is this is very accessible. You can get it at fields less than 11 Tesla in the easy direction about 14 Tesla, and with an H equals 0 TNL, that's quite accessible, either 1 or 0.6 Kelvin. So there we are. I hope I stayed roughly within what you wanted.
Thank you, Paul. Questions?
No, the specific heat is rather broad, although if you look at the field dependence of it, it tends to sharpen up with field. Let me say the primary reason which is here, and the next slide is a blow-up of this. This is a very sharp feature in the R versus H. This is the primary reason, but if I go back to the, actually let me go forward one. If I go to the resistance versus temperature, I have a discernible break here, although it's not the sharpest feature I've seen. But this feature, for me, is actually quite sharp. Now, I'm waiting for the neutron scattering to see exactly what the nature of this is. The lower trend... Oh, sure. I'm sorry. I was going to continue discussing this, but let me try to go forward to the specific heat. Actually, I might have a backup where it's showing the specific heat on a better scale. Let me get that. No, I apologize. I don't have a... I can show this, which also then shows some of the scaling also. So here you're suppressing it. This is not the ideal scale for showing, ideal plot for showing what I wanted to see. But you see this going up. It never sharpens into something that I consider as compelling as I would want it to be, though. So I would say the strongest one is the transport. John?
Very similar question. You said that this material is hexagonal.
Yes.
Couldn't it be a frustrated system?
Well, that's exactly what the neutron scatterers want to invoke. Because Bjorn and others were excited about the fact that you might be seeing some hints of frustration, as a matter of fact, from the work that they're seeing in the inelastic. They think that they might be seeing some sort of frustration in the basal plane.
Couldn't this be at the first transition where you're seeing some sort of frustration effect which reduced the resistivity, give a broad maximum resistivity? And yet, when you apply a field, you remove the frustration.
And actually get...
sharpen up a bit.
That's absolutely conceivable.
That has to meet the perfluorite.
Okay. Now, for me, my problem is this is a good intermetallic compound. A triangular lattice is frustrated for just nearest neighbor coupling. This is ordering by RKKY. I have essentially Degen scaling of the rest of the rarest series. So I always hesitate to invoke this geometric frustration for good intermetallics. So it's a point we'll take, but I have this disease.
But why so low? I mean, what does that one tell
you? Actually,
you would expect the metallic
compound. No, sorry, John. I'll argue the other way, and this might open up a different line of discussion, but the 1 Kelvin is more or less where you'd expect the Degen scaled for purely trivalent ytterbium. The thulium was about 4 Kelvin, and no big deal. As a matter of fact, you could turn that around and say, good God, it's more or less where you expect trivalent ytterbium. How do you know that it's small moment at all? I mean, you could turn around that way. Now, I would argue the entropy plots give me some ability to do that.
Any more questions?
Yeah. Yes. No. So I mean, I think the vice temperature is telling you you've got some condo going on.
So you're saying the vice temperature and the temperature is
getting much closer. Yes. So in this is why it's nice to see series. I don't see any, which is isostructural. I don't see any indication of frustration.
So in that case. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
With this neutron scattering, what is the odd at the moment?
They have not. They've only watched the 0 1/3 0 as a function of temperature up to this point. So they only have a seat of the pants estimate. They're thinking it's about 0.1, which is modulo what you get from the specific heat. Hopefully within the next month or so, they're going to have it fully worked up, and then we'll know quantitative rather than qualitative. Megan, you've been having your hands up a lot. I see it. Do you want to?
I guess I'm still stuck on the issue of the quantum temperature. If we have a high quantum temperature, then the idea of actually going to the local temperature is quite high.
Oh.
But my real question, I suppose, is you have an explanation for the local temperature,
Let me go back to it so I can point at something. Close but no cigar. The first transition here. There we go. This is what I would refer to as a metamagnetic transition, this lower one. So, going down like this. Yeah. Yeah. I'm what? Well, the condo temperature, if we say modulo 20, these are fields of 10 Tesla. I'm not that bent out of shape about the negative magnetoresistivity. I must be missing your point, Megan. All right. We have susceptibility only down to 1.8 Kelvin Chandra.
In this regime, where you're showing the data here, what is the magnetic susceptibility?
The magnetic susceptibility has gone over a... No, it's gone over a weak local maximum. So for the field in this direction, we've gone over a weak local maximum, and we don't know if it's rolling over into a plateau or what it's doing. I want to get susceptibility through the magnetic ordering in low field, but we do not have those data.
So it's kind of behaving more or less like a local moment in most of this
region. Oh, most of the range, absolutely.
And so in the local moment regime, you would expect the magnetic to be like, not just the condo regime, but not just the single intrusion.
Yes.
Does that depend on the direction? I mean, do we have a different difference of the jump as it changes the direction?
Of the current?
Of the current effective field?
It has a small dependence, but it's still sharp in both directions. Whether we apply...
Always going down.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So that's something against the condensation rate.
Yes. Now, I want to actually ask a question ultimately, but if there are other ones, they're fine. But this is to do with the Hall effect and the analysis of the Hall effect data, because one of the things that's striking, for me at least, was that you have such a clear tracking of a evolving and sharp feature in the Hall resistivity as a function of field that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the three lines that we have on our phase diagram. This is the lower line, the upper line, and then the evolution into Fermi liquid as judged by the T-squared resistivity. Now, I've presented the data here as Hall resistivity as a function of field because I really feel there's an open question experimentally, and I would love either other experimentalists or perhaps the theorists to comment on this, because here it's just Hall resistivity, okay? I can take the same data set and I can present it as either rho h over h, in which case I get this sharp feature evolving, or I can locally take d rho h dh, in which case it's just the derivative of the prior data, and we see a very sharp discontinuity evolving as we drop down. Now, right now I feel most comfortable presenting it just as rho h because that's the least manipulation on the data and I consider the data to, you know, speak for itself. On the other hand, what should I be trying to think of to compare to the various theoretical models when the control parameter is field? I mean, if the control parameter is pressure or doping, you don't run into this problem. So I would love to throw that out to the esteemed audience.
That's your answer.
You know, or anyone else, but yes. Yeah.
We had a lot of intense arguments about this over the summer. And why do you want would not say that you were never really serious? My view was that the low range by nature will be sigma x y by the h, or the right thing to think about, because to me that was like a differential stability and could be related ultimately to the current correlators that were involved in defining the ball condition. But the contrary view to that was that you can't say anything about this because as you tune you're changing the ground state itself. And a very strong change in ground state itself means that the linear response kind of argument I'm using is very suspect. And so I would say that that there is no consensus on this issue at the moment. On the other hand, if I look at your low h by the h, it's just so dramatic. In fact, it's more dramatic than the results you've seen in the fairly growing silicon.
Yeah.
It seems to me that the correct quantity to plot is 0 over dh at fixed magnetization.
Yeah. No, just experimentally that becomes. No, it's a good point. But
That is thermodynamically.
Yeah.
A sensible quantity because you're talking about variation of some number, a Hall number, and you have to keep the chemical potential fixed. And what that basically means is that you have to measure the magnetization simultaneously, and then you have to do the Legendre transformation on the data if you have measured M versus H and rho versus H, you can get out D rho over dx at magnetization.
Yeah.
What's
the
No, the inverted triangles is what we can identify as a feature that actually is very similar to the feature we identified in just the rho h data. So these will give you, so, yes.
Is that the metamagnetic?
No, absolutely not. This.
How far away is that?
Immensely far away, John. Let me bring it back again. Here. So. These stars are from just the maximum in rho h, but that's not that different from those triangles I was showing you in the other data sets. Here's the metamagnetic transition. This is the low transition. Here's the upper transition, and these blue stars are comparable to what we're seeing there. Now, if you plot it in different ways and use these criteria, these will be shifted slightly one way or another, but it doesn't change significantly where they are. Oh, let me go back. I think it's probably easiest to see in
right there.
Well, this direction's clear. This is the lowest. This is okay. These are offset for clarity. So I've just taken the points where we know for a given temperature and field they are. Here's the lower metamagnetic one. You can imagine that you see something there barely. Here's the upper one. I'm not seeing anything. Here's my Fermi liquid. It appears to correlate fairly well with the onset of linear rho h versus h. Here is this maximum, and it's distinct.
So you do see also the metamagnetic transition. You see this large feature that you have there.
That's right.
But
yes.
What's missing here is m versus h at all the different temperatures below. So you could define not only the field of the metamagnetic field, but the moment that's being induced.
Yes, I can pull M versus, yeah, I know. Unfortunately, right now, and this is just an experimental limitation, I can pull M versus H from 1.8 upwards, which already will give me a little insight.
Okay. What's the moment?
I don't have that data with me right now, John. Sorry. I mean, I said that too quickly. I have M versus H here. It was one of the first ones I showed, and I believe that's at 1.8. There. At the field that we were talking about there, it's essentially right here, John, is where we were looking. This is above the ordering, John. I have no metamagnetic transition. You see, that's the whole problem with this. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Can you show us again things that will be at least on lower temperatures that will be done long
term? Oh, sure. And actually, what's nice is the Grenoble work on similar samples, but different specific ones, actually gave the same a squared coefficients and a coefficients and t squared behavior. Here's the Grenoble work. It's overlaying our data points and then, of course, extending them to lower temperatures. So here's for the easy axis. Grenoble did not do, up to this point, the Hall effect. So this is only Hall down to about 0.4. And then here's the hard direction. Now, there's another line here. It appears at low temperatures there might be in this direction another feature. Again, that requires neutrons to fully chase.
I had a question about that. First of all, the whole feature is intersecting with the upper antiferromagnetic line. That's going to be used to clarify that DC case is intersecting to empirical.
That's unclear, and I think it's within the error bars of the measurements at this point. You'll see the data we have here from our system is looking like they're coming in together. This seems to suffer some sort of offset here. I don't know what that's associated with. At this point, I don't draw a great significance of these being either intersecting or just coming at the same point.
And the other question was, is there anything to cross over the line?
This?
Am I going to take it seriously? Down, zero, 10,
Tesla, we only have that down to about 0.5, and this is at this point just from onset of t squared, which is a very vague definition. So I don't put a lot on that. On the other hand, I think it's very hard to have the Fermi liquid line somehow magically shifting over to the Hall line. I don't think that's possible. I think they're very distinct from each other. The specific heat on the easy axis, we have the largest run of C over T proportional to, yes. We have the largest run of the logarithmic behavior of C over T at about 8 Tesla. And this is actually one of the other curiosities to me in this, that we seem to have indications that if there is a quantum critical point, it's at about 5 Tesla, and yet the longest logarithmic run here is moved over to about 8. But you have a linear temperature, a linear resistivity existing between about 6 and 8. In addition, you have the longest logarithmic specific heat in that region.
Any more questions? The opportunity to just actually mention something referring to your introduction where you discussed pressure, concentration, and field tuning. And there's this old system tuned a couple of gold where there happen to be measurements on both pressure and field tuning at a audit. State, I mean, field tuning was discovered by great students group. And the pressure dependence of the specific heat and the resistivity is different from the field tuned specific heat and resistivity, not just quantitatively but qualitatively.
Mm-hmm.
And then the field tune data look more like the standard Mourier picture, or Hertz-Miller, I should say, while the pressure tune look more like the zero field at the critical concentration, that is more this anomalous dependence we don't understand. So I think there's, it's very important to get more data on all three tunings and just try to compare.
Yeah, and I agree with that fully.
I just want to clarify. Is the Hall effect property that you are seeing significant, completely different from what we heard about, or I only heard a little bit about getting large in this material?
No, I think, you know, to a large extent.
Can somebody compare the two results?
That's my sense, and I would like Philippe to comment. It seems much starker here, and you know, just due to our limitations, we haven't taken it down below 0.4. It seems to be sharpening dramatically. So I think in this material, it's going to be a very dramatic feature. Now, qualitatively, I think it's quite similar, but I think this is going to lend itself to a clearer answer of whether there's a discontinuity or not. Yes.
Where is this continuity stuff? What discontinuity are you referring to, or incipient discontinuity?
Well, let me put this into two bins. As an experimentalist, I see a feature that's evolving and quite compelling. What is it? Yeah. If I look at the theory paper by peers and co-workers, there seems to be a question of whether you have a discontinuity in the Hall coefficient at a quantum critical point. And within my gross understanding of it, it's whether you have essentially a continuous change of the Fermi surfaces associated with a folding with a spin density wave, or you essentially have a collapse of this composite heavy fermion state. And this seems to, at least within his
Your rho H has no discontinuity as far as, or even
no.
Apparent discontinuity.
What
are you
referring to?
Well, why
no.
That?
Wait.
I mean, I could take any critical point and think of doing the same thing.
No. This is Hall effect. This isn't a derivative. I'm just seeing in the Hall resistance, I see a very sharp peak evolving. So I mean, then I point this out as a question for the esteemed theoretical audience. There seems to be a compelling feature that's evolving that seems to be pointing its finger exactly at the field where these transitions go to zero. So then, at the simplest level, as an experimentalist, I'm asking, guys, what does this mean? Some of you have already made a statement of what you think it means. If there are alternate points of view, I would love to hear them. I'm not making.
Just want to understand the experimental point.
Right? Sure.
If I understand right, Gegenwart did not have all this difficulty in using a Hall number. And what I'm saying is, how different was the analysis? Is analysis different or the data quite different?
It was taken in a different way. This is just a straight Hall effect. They were doing crossed fields. I could pull out a Hall number, and to a certain extent, that's what I'm doing it here. But I don't.
That's an important point, that they were doing crossed fields.
They were doing crossed fields. This is just sort of a straight Hall effect with field in one direction.
So if you do straight crossed fields in that case, then
I don't know. I think at this point probably we want to think about that. Does Gegenwart?
Yes, as one of the authors.
We were discussing it. So to try and clarify the point that here, of course, you're just tuning the field and measuring the wall voltage as you go along. What Zilke Passion tried to do was tune the state with the field in one direction, and then apply a transverse field and look at the Hall response to that transverse field. So the notion was to try to extract a linear response, a zero field response in the transverse direction. And you did this two ways then, and both responses showed a feature along this line, some strange feature. The other thing that is interesting is that this is a higher energy scale system than the atomic growing silicon field. And if you look at the data at the higher temperatures of 2 Kelvin, 5 Kelvin, 2 Kelvin, for 5 Kelvin, they look very similar to the data on the German low interest rate. I think if you could have gone to the lower temperatures, you might have seen features that you've seen here.
There's a point along those lines to make. With the ytterbium rhodium 2 silicon 2, most of the data is down to about an effective temperature of half of TNEL, at least a lot of it, maybe a little lower. One of the advantages here is you can actually get substantially below that. So see the sharpenings that you're hoping to see. Yeah.
Okay, I think we have to stop here.
Oh.
One more.
Yeah.
Yes. Using the circuit data, where she applied the field on the path direction, the magnetization at the field where the ore shows the king was less, well, less, well below 0.1 before,
below
0.05 before.
With all
here, the stage already shows crossover from a larger slope to a smaller shape that might evolve into a king.
What's remarkable to me, and I'll end with this, is these two systems with different characteristic magnetic scales, condor temperature seems to be approximately the same, are showing phase diagrams, including this rather mysterious hall line, that are remarkably similar. And I find that intriguing. It's actually hopeful in terms of physics. We have two ytterbium-based materials that might be showing quantum phase transitions, and their basic phase diagrams, at least to date, are quite similar. That's good news, and I'll end with that.
Thank you very much. And we come to